The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello and welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. On this episode, I chat to Guardian journalist Erin Del Hunty about netball and the Olympics.
Obviously, the Olympics has been on the TV. Have you been enjoying watching it recently?
Oh my goodness, what even is sleep, Sash? What even is rest or trying to work? And yeah, I've been doing the double screen, the triple screen at different times. I've got the notifications set on the phone. So yeah, I've absolutely been devouring the Olympics. And I have to say, put my hand up, I was absolutely in the group of people that were very skeptical about these games going ahead. I did hold real concerns about it given what is happening in the world. And I mean, I guess we're still yet to see the fallout of that until we have everyone return to their home countries. But I've certainly been enjoying every moment of it. Yeah, particularly the women from Australia who, you know, we've just seen some unbelievable performances from them.
Oh, totally agree. I feel like it's the distraction we needed. But, you know, obviously it's great to see sports such as climbing, surfing and skateboarding, they're the new inclusions. But I definitely am feeling the fact that netball is still not in the Olympics. A lot of people have come to me, I'm sure the same thing happens to you every 4 or 5 years in this case when the Olympics is on. Why isn't netball in the Olympics? Obviously, it's a huge question to answer. So, I mean, what's your immediate reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm exactly the same. It's the 4-yearly conversation, or 5-yearly, as you say, in this case. And I think the thing is, a lot of people just assume that netball is in the Olympics. And I think that's where I kind of land. Our sport is so significant, so large, so world spread all over the planet now, but particularly in Australia, England, and New Zealand, that it kind of boggles my tiny little netball brain that we're not, you know, on the world's biggest stage, and that is the Olympics. We know that sport, and by extension the games, are one of the most powerful platforms for, you know, for promoting anything really, but particularly in terms of gender equality and empowering women and girls, and that we haven't got, you know, I would argue, the number one sport for doing that, a sport built by women for women, to not have that platform at the Olympics is, you know, a continuing disappointment to netball fans.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, I mean, it's a difficult thing to kind of express really, because netball was recognised by the International Olympic Committee in 1995, which was a significant step. It's really just a box tick, but it's really important because that's how sports can eventually be considered for inclusion in the games. But it still doesn't mean that netball is played in the Olympics. So, I mean, what are the current barriers that netball is facing as a sport, and why are we not seeing it on that bigger stage?
Well, look, it's really interesting, Sash. This is I think this is important for people to understand. This is a really complex and multi-layered issue that we're dealing with. There's a lot of commentary around this at the moment that netball just needs to do X, or netball just needs to do Y. But when you're talking about getting into the Olympics, it's not just a matter of a checkbox. It's not like answering KPIs in a job application, unfortunately. This is a moving, changing beast. And I mean, I don't need to tell you, Sash, that the IOC and the AOC are these huge, complex political organizations that require the greasing of palms and particular relationships and understanding about, you know, strategic motivations and things like that. So there are a number of issues that netball has faced, and netball from the Australian perspective, and I guess that's where I sort of have a little bit of knowledge in this area, with, you know, the Australian game talking to the IOC and wanting to get this happen and applying to go in, you know, netball applied to go into the Tokyo Games and was unsuccessful. There's been a series of things that netball has had to step through. So you mentioned just then becoming a recognised sport. You know, we gained that official status in 1995, and then there was discussion around, okay, we need more countries to be playing the game. We now have that compared to 20 or 30 years ago and played across, you know, 5 continents. And then there was discussion that, you know, netball needed to be seen in multi-sport games. So when we say multi-sport games, we're talking about your Commonwealth games, you know, sorts of setup, or Southeast Asia games and things like that. Again, that netball has ticked off. And then, of course, we come to the issue of gender equality. So is it necessary for the game to really broadly embrace men and boys into the game, because we know at the moment that the men's game isn't internationally isn't sanctioned by World Netball, which used to be the INF, the International Netball Federation. But it's not just a matter of all of these things having to be done. If netball wants to get on that big stage, it needs to understand what does it need to do and how do we go about doing that. It's not just a matter of trying, I don't believe anyway, of trying to clear all these hurdles. We need to be really strategic. And when I say we, I mean the sport as a whole, really strategic about how we approach this. And Brisbane obviously getting, you know, getting the games, that is kind of a key, that's another key point where we need to go, okay, how do we actually make this happen? As opposed to saying, yes, we're going to put in an application, which we have done numerous times now, Tokyo 2020, 2021 being the most recent example of that. To get the presence there, I think we need to be really smart. We need to be really strategic about the way that it's done. And with the new head of World Netball, Liz Nichols, in place, she's a really fantastic person from England who's come from the high performance area. And I know a lot of people that I have spoken to have said that she really has the chops to get this done. She really understands this, you know, on a very, very deep level. So I don't think it's a matter of just one or two things, Sash, but I think when we're looking at the men's side of it as well, I think it's really important to consider that a lot of those quotas and things that the Olympic Committee put in place for many decades were about raising the profile and the number of women that we saw at the games. So there's this, a slight kind of irony there, I think, that we're looking at netball, which netball exists for the purpose of empowering women across the globe. That has been, you know, one of its sole purposes for a long time. It's not like any other sport. It isn't seen through the lens of male participation. It's not a male sport, in inverted commas, that has been transported or changed, transformed into a women's game. It's always been a women's game built by women for women. So it's unique. So I think that probably speaks a lot to why it has had that difficulty in getting into the games so far.
It's so fascinating because, you know, a couple of years ago I was at this conference for the BBC talking about women's sport, and someone said to me, oh, do you think that more men should play netball? And I sort of gave a diplomatic answer, which is, you know, maybe we do need more men to play the game because it could help to elevate it in terms of looking at it from, you know, the Olympic perspective. And that opinion just, it sunk like a lead balloon, I have to say. Like, no one, like, I was trying to be diplomatic and no one in the room agreed with me, because, I mean, ultimately, no, I don't. I love the fact that netball is, you know, essentially owned, run, you know, excelled at by women. And that's the beauty of it, as you said. And I mean, you look at the statistics, I don't think any Olympics has ever had a 50-50 split of men and women participating. I mean, the 2016 Rio Olympics, there were 45% of participants were women. And it's one of those things, one of those quotas where the International Olympic Committee do need to try and reach that 50-50 target. So netball would help, as it is right now, it would help them get that over that line because it is purely women. So, and I also just think women don't necessarily want lots of men to be playing in it. Like, you know, they love the fact that when they're out there, it's a level playing field. You know, when men play, it is totally different. And that, you know, is another debate in itself. But mm-hmm. do we really need men to come on board for it to actually be a viable Olympic sport?
Look, I'm a big fan of the men's game. I think it's really important, particularly I think when we talk about the men's game, we're really only talking about a couple of areas of the world where the men's game is really large. So, and when we say large, it is absolutely dwarfed by the number of women and girls that play. That's the first thing that we need to say. It's tens of thousands rather than in the millions. But I think it's very important that men are brought into the tent. I think there's no harm to be done to the game to do that. We've had successful mixed competitions, particularly in Australia and New Zealand, for many years. Men and women are able to play alongside each other in good competition with good umpires. I'm sure you've experienced that, Sasha. But the thing that keeps coming back for me is that this needs to be done on women's terms. This is a sport that is owned by women, and that is our unique selling point. It's the unique selling proposition that we have as a sport. So I think the balance that needs to be struck between understanding, regardless of the Olympics, the benefits of bringing men into the sport, but how is that done? And in what way is that done? Is there a slightly different product for the male game? Is there a bigger presence or a bigger value to be placed on the mixed game? I don't think it's just a matter of saying, oh, okay, we have to be men and then we need to split the money down the middle. Because when we're talking about internationally in particular and in developing nations, it's really quite stark. And we read these stories. We know about the athletes, some of the African athletes in particular that we see playing in our super netball competition. They have been lifted out of poverty, you know, quite literally by their ability to play netball and their ability to gain an education through playing netball. So the notion that everything just needs to stop and we need to split down the middle and say, okay, now we're a game that's played by men and women and all money, the paltry amount of money that some nations and clubs have and associations have are going to be split down the middle 50-50. I think that's where you get the backlash from the traditional netball people that say, well, you want us to take this very small, this little small pile of money that we have and split it, you know, into growing the men's game when the women's game is still very much fighting in a lot of parts of the world. We're very fortunate here in Australia with the status of super netball and the wages that the women are, you know, that the lead players are played and things like in New Zealand and England the same, and increasingly in South Africa as well, which still isn't fully professionalized. The idea of taking half of any resources and just simply putting them into something else really, you know, it creates a bit of concern amongst people. And I think that's understandable, but it's the way that netball has to do it that is going to matter. And hopefully it can be done netball people find solutions for things all the time, right? We sort of, the running joke at the moment, I know with a couple of my friends on Twitter about the very slow vaccination rollout that we're having here in Australia, is that they just need to give it to some netball associations, you know, give it to the committee down at the local club and it will be done. Make it part of the pre-registration process before you get, you know, before you can join a team. I mean, that's a very sort of, you know, lighthearted way of thinking about it. But in the past, netball has absolutely just got things done. Talk to nations that have had to crowd, like Zimbabwe, we saw at the Liverpool World Cup in 2019, who were crowdfunding for runners and who were, you know, were just trying to find solutions so that they could get to the World Cup and play the game that they wanted to play. We still see players now in the hub in super netball that are still working and doing their university degrees on their days off and things like that. So the pragmatism and the creativity that we have within netball, I feel we need to harness that to make this work. And I don't think it has to be an either or situation when it comes to the men's game.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
And another question that I have in terms of this gendered discussion is, you know, we do have the synchronized swimming and the rhythmic gymnastics at the Olympics, which are only women partake in those sports. So is there an opportunity for netball to also do that? Or do you think that that would just be too much of a hurdle to overcome?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think some of those sports can be perceived as a discipline of particular sports as opposed to a standalone sport. But I think going back to what I was just saying, I think it's just about the pragmatism. I mean, if you gave me the Thomas Bach's job as the IOC president, we'd absolutely have only women's netball. And it would be, to me, to make a showcase of the fact that it is a women's sport, that female empowerment is weaved in the DNA of the sport. But I think we need to be realistic and pragmatic about what that actually means. So I would love to see the sport, you know, stand alone, but I'm not sure whether that's necessarily going to happen. But then there's also, I mean, other people, you know, do throw around this idea of is there potentially an opportunity for a different form of the game? So whether that's a fast five version or do you look towards a mixed game potentially? But from where I see it, regardless of which direction it, you know, other people's preferences might be, I think that it certainly has to be the female game, and it certainly has to be the game that we see at the World Cup and that we see at the Commonwealth Games, which are are two major landmark events at the moment.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And, you know, another element of it obviously is the fact that you need to have, or there's the perception that you need to have, those big nations who are interested and involved in netball. So, I mean, we know we've got 44 national teams who are playing, but those huge Olympic nations, USA, China, Russia, etc., they don't traditionally have huge netball teams. I mean, I've played against the USA netball team and they were great, but like, it's definitely nowhere near as well known there or well funded as basketball, for example, or their football team. So is that also a part of it?
Yeah, and I think the US is sitting currently 36th on those rankings, and you make an absolutely brilliant point. I think that is another thing to add to this already complex mix, the notion that these larger countries need to play it. And I know, particularly with Tokyo, I understand with netball being unsuccessful for these games, that was mainly due to the sport's lack of presence in Japan. I mean, you look at the skateboarding that we've witnessed over the last couple of days, you've probably noticed the young Japanese, the women in particular, have really dominated in that sport. So it goes to logic that the host country is going to put up, or, you know, be able to add in sports that they see value in, that their nation, you know, is going to see value in. So that's where I think it comes back to Brisbane, goodness me, don't put an extra D, goodness me.
I love it. Brisbaneites will be on your side. Do not do that.
I think that's where this is such a big opportunity. Brisbane, look at the Commonwealth Games. We don't want to talk about the Commonwealth Games final.
We do. England won.
But we know that those games sold out almost before anything else in the Commonwealth Games in 2018. Brisbane understands, the AOC understands the popularity of netball in this country. We've seen 18,000 people at the 2015 World Cup final in Sydney. So it's about, I think, we need to get those people on board. And the John Coates, AOC president, who has been in the news recently for probably the wrong reasons as far as a lot of women are concerned, we need to get him on board. And then you need to think about the other people that are powerful in the movement. Who's the patron of the AOC at the moment? Scott Morrison, another man, the CEO of the AOC. Matt Carroll is a man. As I mentioned before, the IOC president, Thomas Bach, is a man. We need to start influencing these men to help, you know, bring this forward, hopefully, for, you know, whether it's a demonstration sport or whether we can actually get it over the line for a full sport when we have it in Australia, where we know there will be a huge demand for it.
That's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, it bodes well, you know, when you look at the sales of the tickets for the Commonwealth Games, etc. I mean, I feel like I want to immediately Google how I can become president of the International Olympic Committee. Can we work towards that? We need a woman up there who loves netball.
It seems kind of flippant, doesn't it? In a lot of ways, it does seem flippant to say, oh, well, there's a lot of men at the top. But I think that there needs to be a realization that because netball is so different, it's not necessarily a language that a lot of people speak. It's a little bit like, I think, the skateboarding or maybe the surfing or even the bouldering and the climbing that we're seeing. Mm. For people who that is really uncommon for, there's a real learning process that has to be done there. I didn't understand before these games how huge skateboarding was amongst young girls in Japan. That's not something that I had an awareness of. So we need to take these people, these really powerful decision makers, take them on a journey with us and hopefully get a whole bunch of other people, really high profile people as well, to get on our side. I mean, we know Scott Morrison is a Diamonds fan. We've seen him in the ScoMo warm-up shirt previously when the Diamonds are playing. So, you know, he has a role to play as well in this, hopefully, as well as all of the wonderful netball, far, far greater netball brains like me, like, you know, your Liz Ellis's and people like that have much, much greater influence.
God, so fascinating. So, I mean, I have to say, I feel not only more informed after speaking to you about this, but also more positive about the hopes of actually getting netball into the Olympics, hopefully, you know, within the next 11 years by the time the Brisbane Olympics roll around, because it feels like it's not insurmountable. It feels like something that is achievable if we work at it.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I do think that what is happening more broadly with women's sport at the moment, this kind of reckoning that is happening through the Olympics and through some of the other really large women's sports that we're seeing, I feel like that momentum can be built on for Brisbane as well.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thanks so much, Erin. I really appreciate all of your insight today.
Not at all. Thanks.
A very complex topic there, but thanks so much to Erin for chatting to us here on The Netball Show with Flyhawk. A really interesting conversation. If you have anything to say, why not get in touch with us? We're online, especially on Twitter, at The Netball Show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Shipway. Take care.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.